Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a very sad day.
It is a very, very sad day.
Why is it a sad day, Charles?
It's a sad day because Ben is leaving. Aren't you, Ben?
Bye.
Bye-bye, Ben.
Ben is such an amazingly talented and gifted producer that it is a miracle we've managed to hang on to him this far.
I mean, it was always you who thought he was such a brilliant producer. And I was happy because you were happy.
Yeah.
I worry about talking about him too much because there's a story in the papers this very morning, not that I want to get on with the podcast because Ben can do what he wants and I don't care, but there's a story in the actual papers this morning about Ken Bruce famously leaving Radio 2 and he's going to Greatest Hits Channel, something like that, and the BBC, he was meant to see out his contract, but the BBC have just thrown him out so that he can't promote himself and his new show. So I'm a bit wary of talking about how Ben is moving to Cardiff to become... What is it? Director General of the BBC? Something like that.
Well, that Richard's going, isn't he? So
Richard Sharp?
Yeah.
They're getting rid of him, yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, he's like the chairman of the BBC.
There are about 19 different presidents, co-presidents.
But it's only about 400 grand, and I'm not sure Ben could live on that.
Yeah, it's true. Not now.
Not now. He's got a baby and everything. Yeah, no, first he had a child, which definitely deflected his attention, because previously we were his babies. Now he's got a child, he's moving to Cardiff, he's working for the BBC.
He's all grown up.
It's really sad. We're going to get a new producer next week.
Who I'm sure will be absolutely brilliant. But you will obviously give them hell for about 6 months.
Yeah, they will record the thing and we'll apologise on air for it having been poorly edited. I like the bit when he literally takes one of us out of a sort of thing. Sometimes there's a bit when you're talking and I know I interrupted, but it's not there in the podcast.
Ben is incredibly good at seamlessly erasing us from history when we've said something stupid or rude.
But he's also a little bit sort of millennial. Every time I say anything remotely controversially, hoiked out anything, just...
I have noticed that Ben is becoming more right-wing, though.
He is, because it's all this exposure to us. And they just slightly get into the podcast. Whereas this new person, with a bit of luck, will be some grizzled old Tory who will let me
that we will allow us to be hoisted by our own petard. Speaking of racism and being hoisted by your own petard, do you want to talk about Brexit?
Ugh.
And the
Is that racist?
Well, it has sort of adjacent racist.
Or do you have a racist opinion about it?
No, I don't have. I don't have very few opinions about Brexit, actually. But there is a lot of Brexit in the news. There is other stuff, but there's a lot of Brexit in the news at the moment. And obviously, nobody wants to hear what you think about the Northern Ireland Protocol, mostly because you don't know what it is.
You see, I don't think anybody knows what it is.
Yes.
I'm very aware. It's amazing that you've brought up the thing. I mean, we would say, just for clarity, this is the week when Rishi Sunak signed the new Brexit deal with Ursula von der Leyen.
Yep.
And the King, apparently.
I don't know what he was involved
there
somehow,
doing
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
I don't know what that, but he was there. And now we're going to talk about other stuff.
Yeah.
But sort of we could.
It's... Well, I don't think you really want to talk about the Northern Ireland Protocol because it's not very funny.
They've done this great thing.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is. Okay. And it's like, you can now send parcels to people in Northern Ireland without anyone opening to check what they are, that they don't contain salmon or bombs or whatever it is. I'm not sure what the big issue is. And it's so that you don't have a porous border between the EU and, is the Northern Ireland Protocol a good thing or a bad thing? Have they got rid of it or reinforced it? And was it the DUP or whoever the opposite is who didn't want to have the thing before? And why is it okay now?
Okay. Very, very briefly. A customs or what is often referred to as a hard border between the Republic of Ireland, ROI, and Northern Ireland, Northern Ireland, getting rid of the customs and trade and general kind of militarily policed border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland in the 90s when the EU came in was one of the reasons why the Good Friday Agreement happened. In the Good Friday Agreement, Mo Olam, God bless her soul, she was able
Smoked a joint with Mo Olam.
Did you?
Yeah, at the Blackpool Labour Conference in 1995.
You smoked a joint with Mo Olam?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Was she unwell at the time, or was it just recreational?
You don't have to be unwell to have me come back to your room for a joint. I mean, there were lots of other people there. It wasn't a massive thing for her, I don't think.
Right, okay, yeah. She's not sitting up in heaven going, I want to smoke a joint with Charles. And they go, right, you're out. So Mo Olam...
I put that in to make this very boring thing more interesting.
Look, do you want me to go on or not?
No, not really.
Okay,
I mean, or do you really understand it?
Look, yeah,
what they've done is they've made it okay with everybody, right? Apart from the DUP.
Exactly.
Why are the DUP not happy?
Well, because the DUP aren't happy with anything.
Ian Paisley Jr. is not happy. It's mostly because they keep calling him Ian Paisley Jr. And there's something like me being called Alan Corran Jr. Come on, at some point, just call me Ian Paisley. Mm-hmm. He's not happy, but it doesn't matter because the DUP don't... The Tories have a majority without the DUP now, so they don't matter as much as they did when Theresa May was around. Still don't know why the King went. I know why Ian Paisley Jr. wasn't happy. It's because they really love the King in Northern Ireland.
Yes.
And he thinks...
Some of them do. There are
people. Okay, fine. But
the general consensus is that we are British, right? And we love the King.
No, but yes, the Protestants in Northern Ireland, they're the ones who are into the union, right?
Yeah.
So they think that Rishi took the King along to make them okay with a deal which wasn't good enough for them for some reason that I don't quite know. And are we still waiting to find out what Boris thinks, I think, aren't we?
Oh, God, let's not get Boris involved.
I noticed in other news that an artificial intelligence bot has made beer.
It's made beer from what?
Well, it's quite boring. They just... I thought that an AI had got so advanced in the last week since that it's made itself beer and started drinking lager. But by the way,
that's one way to get rid of AI.
This is me just deflecting attention, because Northern Ireland, I just couldn't... Unless you had more.
No, I've got lots more.
Have you literally written down the whole...
Yeah, I've written down the whole history
proper homework
of...
On.
Yeah, I've totally done my homework. I thought you were going to ask me why Northern Ireland matters so much.
Well, why does Northern Ireland matter so much?
Well, Northern Ireland matters so much because... I mean, this is a conceptual thing, I think. I think it's basically our one remaining overseas territory, pretty much. And so we've got to keep it. Do you know what the population of Northern Ireland is?
Okay, it's not an overseas territory. It's part of Great Britain. It's part of the United Kingdom.
Yes, so is Canada and Australia. No, but
darling, they're really not part of the United Kingdom. For fuck me. I think you need to do some... You know on Wikipedia with the blue links? You need to start hitting ones that say the United Kingdom.
No, I know. But do you know... But look. Do you know how many people there are in Northern Ireland? What's the population of Northern Ireland?
975,000.
Not bad. It's 1.8 million. What is the population of Manchester?
975,000.
2.7 million. Okay, not very many people living in Northern Ireland, but they belong to us. They are ours. They are British citizens.
They don't belong to us.
Yes, they do.
No, they are British.
They are British.
No, they are British. And some of them would rather be Irish, okay? That's the thing with them.
Yeah, you don't... You literally... Your ignorance about the whole of
Ireland...
But
it's not an overseas territory. It's like massively not. It's like...
it's across a sea.
So is the Hebrides.
Are they not an overseas territory?
No, no. And also the Isle of Wight.
Jersey's
more complicated.
Anyway, listen, basically it matters because Northern Ireland has to matter to us because they are British, even though there are only 1.8 million people. And also,
by saying that it's an overseas territory, we would have calmed everything down. Wow, the new podcast.
No, but listen, okay, look, let's leave the Northern Ireland thing behind and talk more about
AI beer.
Okay, fine, yeah.
It was just a nib.
It's Charlotte Wheeler. I'll be back in a sec.
Charlotte Wheeler?
Yeah, I know.
How funny. What, the daughter of the late Stuart Wheeler, who literally made Brexit happen all on his own? That's quite interesting timing. Just a note to new listeners. Often the doorbell rings and Esther goes to the door. It's usually parcels, but on this occasion, it's Charlotte Wheeler. And now, that's amazing. I was just telling the listeners, Esther, are you coming back or not? Who knows? Darling? What's going on?
I need
you to wait. Oh, what does Charlotte want?
She's borrowing one of Kitty's Olympians books.
What an irony that the daughter of the person who basically single-handedly brought about Brexit rang on your doorbell at that point.
Did he?
What do you mean, did he?
Well, no, I think there was other people involved. I think David Cameron might
have. Stuart's idea, though.
Was it?
Stuart funded UKIP. If it hadn't been for UKIP, there would have been no Brexit. There wouldn't have been the pressure on the Tory party.
Yeah, I forgot about those guys.
Stuart withdrew his support
from
David
that.
Cameron's Tory government and gave £5 million to UKIP, which led to Cameron having to basically have a referendum, which led to Brexit, whose daughter just came to the front door. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cat obesity. Right. Cat obesity, Daily Mail today, page 7. If you want to miss out everything completely and just do... Can you pass me
the It's so phone? Funny watching you look for the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Ooh, just wanted to say...
If this is about Kate Middleton being fit, I'm not interested.
I've just written item number 6 on my list to talk about is hot case on an exercise bike. No?
Yeah, done.
Look.
Okay, Daily Mail today, page 7. Cats face an obesity crisis and owners get the blame. It looks like the cats really did get the cream, as obesity is now their second most common health complaint. What's their first most common?
What an intro, by the way. Who's written that? It looks like the cat really got the cream.
Yeah, Victoria Allen. Although she wouldn't have written it. Some jumped up sub would have stuck that on the top. Exactly. Indulgent owners may be too quick to reach for the treats while not devoting enough time to playing with their pets for exercise. The most common illness diagnosed by vets in cats was gum disease. Yep, cats, bad teeth, bad kidneys. That's what they
call it. Not our cats.
Not
Iris.
Our cats.
Iris. Puch, yes, talking about you.
So a Weight Watchers meeting and everyone's a cat.
Right. No, so look, there is an, you know, there's a type 2 diabetes story in the paper today, which is about, it's another, the government plan. There's been a NHS anti-diabetes program, giving people Fitbits and getting people's weight down, and they've managed to lower the incidence of type 2 diabetes a little bit across the population. And it's a really great thing. Some people are saying
that almost never works. That's very impressive. Yeah, it is impressive.
And some people are saying this is a bad thing for spending taxes on and all that, whereas you should just be locking up fat people or whatever. But in fact, I think it's a really good thing. It's like a little bit of movement has been made on it. So one could tie that into a cat obesity story.
Plus this very, very alarming, I always find these news stories really alarming, when it says an 11-minute brisk walk a day will prevent 1 in 10 early deaths.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in cats.
No, cats, well, I mean, it's all... I mean,
the way to combat obesity is by jumping up onto roofs and meowing a lot.
Exactly.
And
singing late at night on the fence and having flower pots thrown.
Running along the tops of fences and chasing mice.
Yeah, or chasing lights.
Chase a mouse for 7 minutes a day and yes. You could bring down your BMI.
Exactly. But you think...
Also, living only on mice would be as...
Living exclusively on mice, yeah, yes, exactly.
Cats would be thinner, so would people. But it does, because it's come down from the sort of 5 minute, to the 10,000 steps, it's okay if you do 5,000 to 3. Because if you set the bar too high,
then
overweight people think, I can't manage that.
Exactly. It's a bit like the flossing hygienist flossing principle. Yeah. You say you have to floss your teeth every single day, no one will do it. But if you say, just floss them when you can, you might do it once a week.
Although when I went last week to the hygienist, she said, oh, they look fine. And I hadn't flossed at all, so I'm never going to again.
I wouldn't bother if I were you.
No.
Okay, so fat cats, you could do that. Oh my God, I can't believe they didn't use the word fat cat in the headline. That's throwing it away. Actually, this is a thing that you actually might do, okay? So you will be familiar with the story of Michel Saran, who lost his Michelin star this week.
I'd never heard of him. I see that some Michelins are out in France and some people are losing stars, yeah.
So what they're doing now, what the Michelin Guide has decided to do...
Oh, didn't Paul Bocuse lose one? Or someone, I think he might be dead, someone really famous. But yeah, Michel Saran. But before that, I think Bocuse might have lost one, but someone really famous did, yeah.
Okay, so what they've done, I'll just grab a story, which I think is today in the... Today, alongside your love letter to your boyfriend, Tom Parker Bowles in T2. So it's in the world thing. Hang on a second. The Michelin Guide have decided, in advance of the release of the new guide, they announce in a special press release who's lost their star first.
Right.
Michelin stars are, of course, faintly bullshit, but they really do matter to these people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, I think this has got to, I think you've got to call for the end of the Michelin Guide. This is also the week in which Farah Storr, the former editor of Elle, writes what a horrible time she had at Noma.
Yeah, that was a good piece.
Which was a good piece. And actually, I didn't have that horrible a time at the French Laundry, but it was an ordeal. And I wonder how good a time you actually did have at Elle Bully that last time you went.
When I went with my brother-in-law, Xander Armstrong, off Pointless, and at course number 22 out of 55, he had to say, I'm terribly sorry, Charlie, I think I'm going to have to puke.
You both puke.
I didn't puke. Fuck off. The one skill I have is that I can eat 55 courses of utter horse shit and not throw up.
You do have the stomach of a fox, it's true.
If I ate the stomach of a fox, I would keep it down. Xander went off to vomit, yeah. That might be interesting. Can I point out we're doing the shittest podcast we've ever done on Ben's last one, aren't we, Ben?
What do you mean? It's hilarious.
Do you think?
Yeah, it's great.
It's rubbish. It's fucking Northern Ireland. Is he? Of course he is. He's leaving. Yeah. He'd enjoy it if we just sat here lighting our farts.
Demob happy. We can do that if you want,
Yeah, it's
Ben.
Funnier than some of this talk. Okay. But look, the losing of the Michelin stars, Bernard Loiseau famously killed himself. You don't have to look down for his name. He's been long dead. And that is part of the problem they have there is... It's interesting, there is a story in the papers today about my dear, troubled friend, Heston Blumenthal, who has lost his contract with Waitrose after 12 years. It's fine, 12 years is a long time to do anything with anyone. Yeah. They're saying that some of his crazier banana and bacon soufflés or whatever, trifles, were not having much traction in the supermarket aisles. He said, they couldn't cope with my unpredictability. Now, unpredictability in anybody, we all know what that means, is a bit of a euphemism for some of the woes that Heston has undergone lately, the stresses of trying to keep a third Michelin star, all that business of being touted as a genius and the stuff that in your personal life that becomes difficult. Oh my God. Will think Heston in the middle. Who am I? Am I like little Heston from Marlow, wherever the fuck he's from, the Thames Valley, who's just like quite a good cook and doing well? Or am I a crazed, boffin, Einstein-like genius? Oh my God, how do I measure up? These are the feelings they have. And the point is, just saying that Michelin is no longer relevant is not that interesting from a food writer. But to say fine dining's got to stop.
Yeah.
In a week when Heston, we finally accepted that Heston, nobody wants... a bacon and banana trifle, and in a week when they're now trying to get publicity, I guess, because they now realise that giving a new star is not as big a story as taking one away.
I mean, they have been very mealy mouthed about it. They say that they put this press release out in advance of the new Michelin Guide, so that the ones who have got their star They can concentrate on that, and it's not a distraction to the story. I say this is just a kind of, it's just a fucking circus.
I think we work up ahead of steam here, because Farrah Store went along and she'd been looking forward to going to Noma, and she said, should I pretend to like this, because that's what everyone does, it's a conspiracy, it's all shit. I am culpable in having written about Noma and said it was great. I can now reveal when I didn't like it, as you know. Oh, this is shit. But I'd gone all that.
No. You don't tell lies in journalism, in your journalism. And you don't say something is good when it's not. You came back from Noma saying that it was amazing. And it was only later when Rene Redzepi was very mean about you.
You're quite right. I did like Noma.
You came back going, oh my God, with like fucking hearts and stars tweeting around your head.
And then he gave an interview to Eater magazine in New York, saying that I was like the worst person he'd ever met.
Yeah.
Like, horrible. He's a horrible, horrible little man. I was going to do his accent, but I can't remember.
What does
a Swede sound like?
He's
or
not
Norwegian,
having a good, he's not having a good time, Rene Redzepi.
He's not.
So basically, I think it's got to be because, you know, who cares what you say about the Michelin guide? Just end Michelin.
No, end fine food. End that nonsense. End the Michelin guide. End Noma. Farrah had a crap time at Noma. It is all rubbish. The time has come to actually say it's got to stop. In this cost of living crisis, there is a massive boom, weirdly, of omakase restaurants, which is, which is the Japanese sit and just be fed without really knowing what it is. And, you know, everyone, you know, you have to pay £350 per head up front.
Right.
Then sit there in silence when the food is put in front of you. And there's five or six of them have opened recently in London. Who can afford them? It's not right. This massive conspiracy. A restaurant critic, a friend of mine, in fact, I can say who it is. It's fine. Grace Dent, who's the Guardian restaurant critic. I emailed her for about a restaurant that she'd liked, which was a kind of like sitting up and having fun at the bar, Spanish type of place, and I wanted to take a friend there. Did you really like it as much as you said? Just to check. And she said, yeah, absolutely, I did. It was really great. But possibly I liked it so much because of the thin pickings around at the moment, because they actually fed me. It wasn't just fucking celeriac 15 ways. And she's right. That's what happens now. You go to a restaurant, they've extrapolated the little tiny one after the other.
Mm.
And I know that most of my readers, even when I like those things, they go, what is this posh wank? You know, nobody eats like that.
I mean, in this piece about the Michelin downgrades, they describe all the chefs and what they're sort of famous for. And there's this Guy Savoy.
Guy Savoy.
Guy Savoy. Savoy. S-A-V-O-Y.
Guy Savoy.
Guy Savoy.
Guy Savoy.
Guy Savoy. But it's S-A-V-O-Y.
Oh, bah oui, mais ça se prononce Guy Savoy.
Anyway, Guy Savoy. Les Français, quoi? Right, whose restaurant in Paris, excuse me, has had 3 stars since 2002.
That's a Michelin-starred flame right there.
Received a phone call to say that he would get 2 stars in the latest. I mean, can you imagine?
Sorry, I was so distracted by your gargling. You're saying that Guy Savoy is the guy I'm looking at. I kept saying Bocuse, but Guy Savoy is the super famous French guy who's just lost. Yeah?
You tell me. God knows.
Yeah, Guy Savoy. Ooh, my alarm's gone off. I think that means that that's where
I'm... Time to be mean to Esther.
I was mean just before it went off.
No, I know.
It's to remind you that the... Ooh!
What?
Segue.
Yeah, what?
It's to remind me that the car's charging.
Okay.
And to not leave it on the charge point too long and have to pay the waiting charges. Because I think we've said enough about this boring food story, right? Give me this story. I love this story.
So there are two stories.
This story's a bit spurious.
Well, the Scott Mills story.
Or I don't know who Scott Mills is. Some DJ.
Yeah, Scott Mills is the DJ, yeah. And he and his boyfriend, husband, were going to go for a weekend to Amsterdam, but they couldn't go because they were locked inside their electric car outside, it is funny, outside Wogan House, outside BBC's Wogan House for 5 hours, although it's not as bad as it sounds because the back window was open.
Okay, so in this story, I thought, okay, fine, this is funny because below the line in that story, there are lots of people sort of saying, there's a number of things wrong with the story, okay? First of all, so we were locked in our electric car, and we know that our electric car failed the day before New Year's Eve. We had to walk across muddy fields, leaving the car behind. It was stone
dead.
Children
crying, yeah.
But all cars have, inside their electric key, there is a real key. I'm saying that. Look, here is my BMW i3 key. My guess is, look, that is the sound of the manual key inside the electric key, which is inside all electric keys, which you can just open the door manually. So Scott Mills and his partner Sam sat there for 5 hours, apparently, because they didn't know that inside their key was there's a bit of not reading the manual there, I think, Scott.
Coming from the man who never reads the manual.
Now, you might well say, but you can't use the key. Fuck off, did you? Sorry, I was so busy on my roles. Was there a dig?
No.
I saw Ben smile. He did that. Esther's just been mean about Giles smile. I'm looking forward to our new producer.
An alarm went off to tell me to be mean to you. Yeah, so he... And also the back window is open.
Okay, so you wouldn't be able to use the key from the inside. But he said that the back window was open, so Sam was able to get out and go for a wee or something.
Yeah.
And it's like... The idea that you're trapped, it was not in a muddy field at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
It was in W1. It was off Great Portland Street in the afternoon. And people just went by. And I know from Wogan House, there's all those autograph hunters who all stand there waiting to try and get signatures of people like Scott Mills, not me. But they were all waving at him through the window. He wasn't really stuck in the car. He just wants to get in the paper, I think.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Because all he had to do was get... And if he was too fat, then Sam only had to get out, do the... You know, get the manual key out of his... out of the key like this. Do you hear that tummy rumbling?
Yes, that was very loud.
Would that be picked up on the mic? That was my... That's me not having... That's your 16.8 fast right there.
Yeah, I'm so hungry. I'm
click.
Absolutely...
So, yeah, I mean, so, like, down with electric cars, but, Scott, you're a doofus. I have... This idea I had...
Yes.
Did you see that yesterday there was a story that said that... The weather forecasters are going to go on strike.
Yes.
They think it'll be Thursday, but it'll probably end up being Friday or Saturday. Oh, actually, so we open... The joke of the century. Yeah, it's predicted the weather forecast will go on strike, but it said they won't. So, yeah, so no, leaving aside that joke, which just came to me and I'm really, really happy with, and therefore will write the column in order to make that joke.
Yeah.
Show what a good producer you are, Ben, by turning that batshit rambling into a serious podcast this week.
Should we bang Ben out?
Yeah, but we do it differently, don't we?
You go.
No, because you think it's like that,
yeah,
don't you?
It's somber.
It's not.
What is it?
It's not. I asked all the people at the paper and it's not. It's like that.
All right.
They bang him out. Should bang Ben out. Bye, bye, Ben.
Bye.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.